Okay, episode 2 of the Washing Machine Podcast. First one was perhaps shorter than I thought it was, or was going to be, and the fact that the fan and the power book kicked in halfway through probably gave you a lot of noise for the second half. I'm hoping I've sort of cured that. I'm going to try and stick to two topics this time round. It's one of the other podcasts I listen to where they try to restrict themselves to three topics, but they tend to go on a lot longer, and there's a lot of them. So I'm going to try for two topics. First one being Islay, surprisingly enough. For those of you that don't know where Islay is or haven't been to Islay, the village I'm in is Beaumore, which if the island has a capital, then this would be it. It's about the same latitude as Glasgow, only it's a lot further west. The only two ways to get to Islay are either to fly from Glasgow Airport it's a flight operated by Loganair, but it's a British Airways plane, a 35-minute flight either way, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one on a Saturday, none on a Sunday. The other way to get here, and it's the way that most cyclists would arrive, would be by a Caledonian McBrains ferry from Kennacraig, which is about 4 miles south of Tarbert on the Campbelltown Road. It's not a village, it's simply a port. In fact, it used to be an island, but they built a causeway out to it. So it's quite possible, unless you're watching for the signs, to drive straight past. Either folk bring the bikes on the back of the car, or simply put them onto the ferry and cycle off at the other end. I was going to say that Islay's relatively flat for cycling, all the bumpy bits around the outside, and it doesn't really affect as much from a cycling point of view. However, if you arrive at Portaskig, in the north of the island, which is usually the afternoon ferry, you might be forgiven for thinking exactly the opposite. I remember a good number of years ago having been cycling on the mainland, arriving back in the ferry, and two cycle tourists wandered up to me and said, "Have we read this map right? Is that actually as steep as it appears to be on the map?" The exit road from Portaskig, although they've just smoothed it all right, spent about 5 million or something on improving it, and in actual fact made it very fractionally steeper. It's about a 14% climb, and that goes for roughly about a mile to the Kalila Road end. But after that, fairly rolling, kind of up and down, but nothing serious. From Portaskig to Beaumore is about 11 miles. That would take you through a number of the villages on the way. If you arrive at Portellan, well, that's dead flat, no problem. Straight off the ferry, same thing. But Portellan is sort of out in a limb. It's about 10 miles away from Beaumore. There's effectively nothing in between apart from the airport. So if you take what would be known as the low road, it's, I believe, one of the longest stretches of straight road in Scotland. It's about 8 miles long, dead straight. Not dead flat, it's a bit bumpy in places, but nothing to the point where you'd have to change gear much. However, because it's right on Loch Endoll, which is the sea loch that almost splits Islay in half, it can be quite windy because you're quite exposed there. The other way over here would be coming by the high road, which is higher than the low road, surprisingly enough. You can turn off to Beaumore from there, or you can carry straight on, takes you to Bridgend, which is kind of the junction of the island, whichever way you're going. You end up at Bridgend, take a left, takes you down the Rins, down to Brooklady, Port Charlotte, Port Newhaven, carry straight on, take you up to Keels, Ballygrant, Portaskig, and so on and so forth. The majority of people arriving on the island do so for the whisky. I can't believe there's too many people don't know this now, but we now have 8 malt whisky distilleries on the island, which is the largest concentration of malt whisky distilleries per head of population in the world. Islay's population is round about 3,300, 3,400, depends on who you listen to, and we have 8 single malt whisky distilleries. Some of the names will be familiar. If I start from the south, there's 3 of them on the south by Portellan. There's Ardbeg, Lagavulin, and Laphroaig. There's the Maltings in Portellan, which doesn't really count as a distillery. There used to be Portellan Distillery, that's now closed down, in fact nearly all demolished. The next one along would be the one in Beaumore, which is only about half a mile, if that, from where I sit at present. Going down the Rins, there's a Brooklady Distillery, moving up the, before we get to Brokeladi, moving up the Foreland and out towards Saligo Bay, there's now a new farm distillery at Rockside Farm called Kilchoman Distillery, which is a very, very small distillery. Has only just started distilling whiskey within about the past month thereabouts, so it's probably going to be about 10 years before anybody sees much out of that one. But it does have a very good visitor centre. Right up the north, there's Kalila Distillery, and about 5 miles further on a slightly different road, is Bunahavan Distillery. And then if you nip across the water, at across the Sound of Islay to Jura, there's a distillery at Craighouse in Jura, which gives us 9 distilleries altogether. So you can understand, you come over here for a holiday, you can visit all these distilleries. In fact, you can visit 7 of them in one day. I know there are cyclists over here for that. Combine the two, come over for a cycle from cycling from distillery to distillery is probably one of the easier ones, because if you take a dram, you're probably not going to be able to drive. You probably shouldn't cycle if you've taken a dram either, but the ones down the south are Beg Lagavulin and Laphroaig, are all within about 3 miles of each other. The cycling on Islay is pretty good. The major problem, if you want to look at it from that point of view, is the perennial wind. I think I've said this often enough in the Washing Machine Post. We are about 24 and 30 miles north of Northern Ireland. The next stop west of here is the eastern seaboard of Canada, so we're right on the Atlantic coast. Therefore, any wind coming in off the Atlantic, and there's plenty of that, hasn't got anywhere else to go. So we get it. So you will have a fair amount of wind even in the summer, although it can be warm at times. It's certainly quite windy. It's a fact of life. If you live here, it seems to be a lot more noticeable if you don't live here. And I've had quite a number of people saying, when been over for either just meeting them or in for repairs, surely you don't go out cycling when it's windy. Well, I'm afraid to say that if I didn't go out cycling when it was windy, I wouldn't get out at all. I think you could probably count the number of days on one finger when there's no wind whatsoever. There's also, unfortunately, what locally we would call the Loch an Doll effect. I mentioned before, Loch an Doll is the loch that virtually splits the island. Because of the shape of it and because of the way the prevailing winds come, you can quite often find that no matter which direction you're going in, you always seem to have a headwind, which is probably a perennial problem for cyclists anyway. So this side of the island, from Bridgend to Port Ellen, relatively flat, relatively uninteresting from that point of view. It's you've got to cycle it if you're going to get from place to place. If you want to go to the distilleries, which are down the south end, that's quite good. From Port Ellen all the way along to Artala and Claggan Bay, the downside is that past Ardbeg the road surface is pretty diabolical. But since lots of folks seem to be on mountain bikes, you've got chunky tyres, suspensions maybe a help, as long as the bike's not slightly overloaded and you're not in a rush, it's quite a good way to go, quite nice along that way. Not sure I would take the Colnago that way, but then I'm riding on wee 23mm tyres pumped about 100 psi, makes it quite uncomfortable. The Rins, which is the west of the island, that's R-H-I-N-N-S, that's Brokeladi, Port Charlotte, Port Nahaven. That's the interesting part. That's pretty good. You can go over to Saligo Bay in the west, Macher Bay right on the Atlantic. There's a road that goes right round Loch Gorm. Quite nice cycling interest. Part of the area is an RSPB reserve. So if you're into bird spotting stuff, you can do that. Most of that's round on Loch Grunyert, which is where you've virtually got the island split in two. There's Grunyert that comes down from the top, Loch an Doll up from the south, and there's a kind of stretch of land in between where they don't quite meet. Otherwise, it would be two separate islands. Over that side, you can cycle up, as I say, you can go around Loch Gorm over to Sanig Mór, cycle up to Ardnave Point, and an interesting part in this week's eLook, an interesting article which was apparently pulled from the Herald. Some market research firm had decided that Nave Island had the richest population, or the best off population in the whole of the UK, which has elicited a great deal of humour here, because nobody actually lives on Knave Island. It wouldn't be worthwhile. You can't take a bike across unless you stick it in a rowing boat. There's no road on it. I think there's an old ruined chapel, and it's probably about the size of a double bed, but apparently that's the best place in the UK to stay for facilities and housing and whatnot. Heaven knows where they got that from. So you can cycle up there, cycle back down. There's the coast road. You can cycle from Bridgend. Let's take it from Beaumore. We cycle from Beaumore to Bridgend, which is about 3 miles. We cycle from Bridgend down to Bruichladdie, which would be another 8 miles, I think. From Bruichladdie down to Port Charlotte, which is another 3 miles, and then take a right turn at Port Charlotte across to Kilheeran. So most of it, that would be single track road, that's heading over the west, that's about 3 miles, and then there's a road from Kilheeran heads down the coast down to Portnahaven, and then the road takes you back up again to Port Charlotte. So that's an interesting loop. Again, there's a 14% climb out of Kilheeran in both directions, but there's plenty of places to stop. Nobody says you've got to pedal all the way up, although I suppose if you're a real cyclist, having to get off and push would kill off the street credibility. So anybody that's figuring on coming over to Islay for a cycling holiday, in fact there are people that have come over here and stayed for the whole week and cycled here, there and everywhere. Dave Russo from Boston's over here for the Whiskey Festival most years. His bike kept over here, and he just goes cycling around the place while he's over. So if you fancy coming over here, check isleofisla.com. That's isle-of-isla.com to check out for the accommodation. Naturally enough, there's limited accommodation, particularly at certain times of the year, and there's either Islay or there's not Islay. Whereas I think on the mainland, if you needed to go and stay in a particular place and it was fully booked, you could go to the village down the road or somewhere nearby. On Islay, if the accommodation's gone, it's gone. There isn't anywhere else to go. So make sure if you're going to come over, A, you need to book the ferry in both directions, and B, you certainly need to book your accommodation prior to coming over. I think I've probably lost track of the number of people I have met who have come over to Islay on spec, with not having checked out the accommodation at all. Quite often there's nowhere for them to stay. There's only one campsite just outside Port Ellen, or only one official campsite just outside Port Ellen. There is the strand over at Uiscantuaí on the road between Bridgend and Bruichladdie. No facilities whatsoever, but quite often there are folk pitching tents there, or motorhomes, or caravans or whatever, but I say there's no facilities, and I don't suppose, strictly speaking, you are supposed to be there, but for a couple of nights I don't suppose anyone's going to bother. Most of the rest of it's agricultural, it's farmland. If you are going to try and pitch a tent or something, make sure you ask the farmers first. There are estates on the island, as in certain sections are owned by, for instance, down the south past Ardbeg is Ardtala estate, owned by the MacTaggart family. Dunlossett Estate, which almost adjoins, which is owned by the Schroeders. Lagan Estate, sort of in between the two to the west. Islay Estates, some of them allow camping, some of them don't. In terms of getting the bike fixed while you're over here, there's pretty much only me. The smartest thing to do, I think I've actually got this information on the washing machine post, but the smartest thing to do, spokes. Because all the wheels nowadays are so many different sizes, so many different styles, etc., before you leave home, get about 4 or 5 spokes of the type that fits your particular wheel. That's probably the largest one that you would need, and tape them on to the left-hand chainstay. Just put a bit of tape at the back, a bit of tape at the front. I carry quite a lot of spokes, but I can't cover everything. Because there's only a population of about 3,400, you can take the percentage of those people that actually cycle over here, which is incredibly small. It's not practical for me to carry a whole pile of stuff. The other thing that you're as well to take with you is a cassette remover. It's a very small tool which would fit in a pocket, fit in a saddlebag, something like that. The main reason being that you can't fit a new spoke if you break one without taking either the freewheel or the cassette off. I have most of them. If you're caught somewhere where that's not practical, or even if you're going on somewhere from here, carry it with you. You can always find a garage or something somewhere that'll have a vise. You can put this tool into the vise and remove the freewheel, and you can get a spoke into it from that. Make sure you take an inner tube. About 5 years ago, there was a girl over here touring from Germany who not only didn't have a puncture repair kit with her, she didn't have any spare inner tubes. Puncture repair kits, fine, take one with you. But if you puncture while you're out in the road, you'll have a devil of a job trying to get a patch to stick, particularly if the tubes wait. So carry spare inner tubes, just change over the inner tube, pump the tyre back up again, and you can fix the other inner tube when you get over. Other than that, a great place to go cycling. Go over to Jura. It makes no difference whether you're on a mountain bike, whether you're on a road bike. It's still a really good place to go. Moving swiftly on to the second topic of the day, having already mentioned spokes, would be wheels. Being a bit of a wheelaholic, if such a thing exists, like building wheels, we build even more of them if there was anyone over here that actually needed wheels of that kind of standard, that sort of quality. I was on the website for Competitive Cyclist, which is an American site, who seem to be able to get stuff that, although it's European made, there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of it over here. And I'm not sure whether that's because there's no market for it over here, or whether people are not interested, or whether it's just the absolutely ludicrous price. One of the items they had under the new additions to their website was Campag ceramic bearings. Now, according to the blurb underneath, and heaven knows how they work this thing out, but according to the blurb, these ceramic bearings are 1,000 times more round than standard steel ball bearings. Now, I haven't the faintest idea how you figure out roundness in terms of being 100 times more round or 500 times more round. However, bearing in mind the price of these items, they probably are. They're fitted as standard to Campag's Bora and Hyperon carbon wheels. Now, the Hyperon Ultras in the UK cost about roughly £1,500 a pair. The hubs are carbon, the rims are carbon, spokes are steel, and apparently they're fitted with these ceramic bearings. Now, you can buy from, well, as of the 14th of January next year, you can buy from Competitive Cyclist a set of 4 of these ceramic bearings in clips, which will fit any of the current Campag built wheels, or any of the oversized hubs from probably this century, from about 2000, that would be Record, Chorus, Centaur, etc. They'll apparently fit front and back. The price in the UK, if I've done the conversion correctly, is probably around about £230 for a set of 4 bearings. Was it $330? I don't know what the current exchange rate is, I'm kind of guessing. But anyway, it's the wrong side of £200 for a set of 4 bearings. Now, bear that in mind, that if I'm fixing either bottom brackets or rear hubs at the moment using quarter inch bearings, a 50 pence packet will do two sides of a hub. So 50 pence as against, so if I was doing a pair of wheels, that'd be about £1 in terms of bearings, whereas this is going to cost over £200. Supposedly the drag factor involved, in fact, having said that, I think probably the best way of describing this, Tyler Hamilton, who is currently under suspension for supposed blood doping, particularly on the basis that when he won the time trial, I think in the, it was the Olympic time trial, although that was, I don't know if that was specifically the what he's being suspended for, had won it, was it 2 minutes or something? I can't remember the exact distance between him and the second place person. However, last year, all the CSC was it CSC was with at the time? Anyway, the zip wheels, I'm getting these things confused, I think it was with Phonak, but the zip wheels that they were using used ceramic bearings, and the ceramic bearings were running in oil instead of running in grease. They calculated that the amount of drag saved by these was worth so many meters or whatever over a certain distance, and if you took the distance that Tyler Hamilton beat the second place guy by, it's almost equivalent to what they said they could save by using these ceramic bearings. Same thing goes apparently for the Campag ones. The amount of drag that they will save could get you up hills marginally quicker for the same effort. Now, whether you figure it's worthwhile spending over £200 on a set of these, and I must admit I'm drastically tempted to just purely from the point of view of trying to find out whether that's the case or not. However, having read this on the Competitive Cyclist website, I then did a UK search to find out who was selling them over here and how much they would cost. Now, I've tried the majority of Campag stockists in the UK and I can't find these things anywhere. I can find plenty of sites that do ceramic bearings, but I can't find anyone that's doing the Campag ones. In fact, I can't even find any mention of these particular bearings on Campagnolo's own site. Having downloaded the current brochure and checked through the site, can't find any sign of it. So the next stage is to email the folk at Competitive Cyclist and find out whether this is something they've managed to get hold of specially, or whether they're generally available. They may well know. The other thing that's on the Competitive Cyclist website which I found while I was on there, is Lightweight Wheels. Now that's the brand name, they're actually called Lightweight Wheels. The logo's is transferred onto the side of the rim in Zapf Chancery script, which along with Brush script must be one of the most appalling fonts in the world. Why on earth a company at this level has to use that? I don't know. Certainly an aside and something that's more personal preference than anything else. These wheels, which you may well have seen, certainly Ulrich used them, Cipollini used them, I think Pantani used to use them at one time. The rims are carbon. They either do deep flange or the new Vongtoo ones are a normal rim, similar to the ones on the Campag Hyperon. However, instead of using steel spokes, they use Kevlar strands or a single length of Kevlar, which I believe is woven from the carbon hub or the carbon hub flange into the carbon rim, which means that because of the strength of the rim, the hub and the Kevlar strand can be put under a great deal more tension than your standard steel spoke, therefore building a theoretically stronger wheel. Certainly in the directions that it needs to be strong in. However, the price of one of these, in the States anyway, is $5,500. And I'm not sure what that is in British money, but I think it's probably the wrong side of £3,000. I'm tempted, I don't have anywhere near that kind of money, but a pair of these wheels weighs 950 grams, which is roughly half the weight of the wheels I've got on the Colnago at the moment, and which are record hubs, Mavic rims, standard DT Swiss doubles, double butted spokes. That's without the cassette right enough, but it's about 1850 grams for a pair of those wheels, at 950 grams for a pair of the lightweights. Now the difference that would make to going uphill would be quite phenomenal, but at that kind of price. Having said that, there was a photograph in the comic not that many weeks ago of some guy on one of the hill climbs, the end of season hill climbs, riding on a pair of lightweight wheels. So there's obviously some people out there prepared to spend that kind of money. What I would quite like to do is get in touch with the folks in Germany that make these wheels and see whether it's possible to borrow a pair for a test on the Washing Machine Post. Whether they tell me to go away and bang my head off something or what, I don't know, but working on the assumption that if you don't ask you don't get, I think I might give it a try. Well, that's really has covered both topics today, surprisingly enough, still within, I don't really have a time limit as such, so I can't really say I've filled it in within the time, but we've covered Isla. If there's any queries or questions, or if you're planning to come over to Islay anytime, just email me, brian@thewashingmachinepost.net, for any information. And hopefully I'll see you on 31st of December or thereabouts. Bye for now.